This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, speaking to my very good friend Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. And it's several days after the World Championship at Narendra Modi Stadium, 130,000 in attendance. I've waited these days so Jeremy could catch up on his sleep because, like all Australians, he was a zombie the next day. The way the game played out was completely unpredictable, which is happening with a round ball and an oddly shaped bat. Jeremy, I watched what I could and the screaming of the crowd. It would appear that the Australian team had come with a battle plan that they had not used before, but I wasn't sure because I haven't seen an analysis in depth. What did you, during the game itself, during the match itself, what did you figure out the Australians had done? Because remember, I read you that clip from Pat Cummins, the captain, saying we've got a few things to try out. And you said they probably haven't shown everything yet. What was it, Jeremy?
Well, John, the thing that I think they hadn't shown the most was the fact that they actually took a leaf out of the old British baseball strategy. And the baseball strategy is to have a fairly aggressive stance towards your cricket game. So get out there very quickly, score a lot of runs, and try and hit the ball as hard as possible when you're batting. And when you're bowling, same thing, try and bowl as hard as possible, which typically in a one-day international, because you have 50 overs, so 50 times six balls, you don't always bring in because it can actually fatigue your team very quickly. But the trick was, and this is where I think the Australian team really used it masterfully, they didn't actually use what we call baseball, because the British sort of termed it that way. They didn't use it the whole game. So you actually had a very, very slow start to the game, basically, as the Australian team came out to bat, as the Australian team came out to bowl. You saw them actually rev up over about two or three overs where it looked like they were playing very typical one-day international style. But then there would be innings where, or basically overs, where they would accelerate the game. So all of a sudden, the Australian bowlers would bring in some very fast bowlers over a period of maybe one or two overs, which the Indians picked pretty quickly and were able to get some fairly sizable runs. So they're able to get six balls by hitting the ball over the fence a couple of times and really picked it. But then they would change tune very quickly and go back to a very strategic one-day international side, I guess you could say, where the Australian team would play a slower game in bowling. They would also start to watch balls go past and take a slightly slower aspect towards batting as well, and they kept chopping and changing their tactics. So they went from a very aggressive style to a very strategic slow style, but they didn't just do it while they were bowling or while they were batting. They did it while they were bowling and while they were batting. So they did it for both sides of the game, which I think that might have been what Cummins was talking about, and which shows what a lot of commentators suspected here in Australia was the Australian team is actually what we call a very good all-round team, which means you can either have them in there to play a very slow strategic game, and they should do very well, or you can have them there to play a very fast, aggressive T20-style game like the baseball style, and they will also do very well. They won't get phased. So, of course, the effect was on the Indian players and the Indians who had basically just batted first and seen that they'd got only 240 runs with 10 out because they couldn't quite pick the Australian bowling style. The Indian team almost became flustered by this. So by midway through the Indian bowling and the Australian batting part, it was very obvious that the Indians weren't able to get us out. And in the end, they only got four Australians out before we beat them. So it was marvelous. It was very, very good to watch. It was just pure strategy. And I think Pat Cummins, what he said was dead on. They actually hadn't shown us this side of the Australian side being able to switch so quickly between different styles.
What was surprising to me, because all I was able to see were clips, you know, the highlights, is that the crowd was clearly into the game, into the test for the India team, the home team advantage. I understand that. India had not been defeated, had already beaten Australia in the earlier match. They were confident they were going to win, and so was I. And I didn't understand, because when I was learning about it, they would take those breaks and the score would come up from London. When I was learning about it, I think, well, is this good? Is this bad? I couldn't tell, but every time I saw a clip, the team was cheering. If there was an Australian contingent there cheering, I couldn't hear it because it was so loud. However, there was one catch that seemed like the kind of thing we have in baseball, where the game turns on it. It was India batting, and they have that way of hitting the ball sideways so that it'd be a foul ball in American baseball, but it flies off to the right. I think that in golfing, that's called a hook to the right, slice to the left. I think so. In any event, he hooked it, and your fielder was just barely placed out of reach of the ball over his head. It was like a pop-up. And he was running and running and running. And then he threw himself out, held his hands out, and he caught it. Now, that struck me as a turning point in the game, was it? That kind of spectacular catch? That's an out. That means the batter's out.
That does, and you're right, John. That was actually a turning point for many reasons. Firstly, because it was a marvelous catch, because as the ball was coming in, it was coming in from behind. The player actually, and I can't remember which player actually caught it now, but I know it was so spectacular. He actually had to judge where the ball was coming in and get himself there. So he basically had to sprint at sprinter pace to get into the right position and then actually make the catch, which a cricket ball going into your hand is not easy. But it actually showed that at that point in the game, the Australian side wasn't fatiguing, because that was a fair way in at that point. You're still at least 20, 30 overs in. So theoretically, fielders start to get tired, especially in the very humid, hot Indian heat, which was a big, big concern for the Australian cricket selectors. They had to get a team that could survive the strong Indian and Northern Hemisphere heat. And it proved that not only could you have fielders that seemed to be absolutely on top of their game halfway through the game and very refreshed, but it showed that our skill set was there, because you're right, that ball theoretically shouldn't have been caught, because it was the player wasn't quite positioned correctly, and you can never exactly position a player correctly for where a ball's going to go. But he pulled it off, and that the morale boost, I guess, and the motivational boost it gave to the Australian side after that, it showed that we could basically win and own this game. And I think that showed from that point on, because if you look at the subsequent outs, the bowling, basically when the ball hits the wicket, those outs, and also the subsequent catches, Australia was just all over it. We just had the confidence to get in there. So I definitely agree, John. I think that was the turning point. And then by the time we came into bat, after we just had that stunning fielding session, our guys were ready to go, and they really knew they could win it.
Yeah, you were very confident. And the London commentators, because I wasn't watching the game, I was reading the summary. The London commentators, they didn't want to give it away, but they strongly hinted that India has 240 runs and it's entirely out. And so Australia coming to bat, Australia can do this. You didn't even need your full team to get to 241.
No, that's right. In fact, we didn't even put our best players in at that point. So the four players that got out for the Australian side, they were the players that fantastic players, but they weren't our heaviest hitters. And just four players alone made 241, whereas for the Indian side, they took all 10 players to make 240. So it showed we had a very, very strong day.
So although the score looks close, it wasn't close. Australia was hitting well enough to do 300 or 400 runs, which would have been a more exciting close. But then again, the game turned on a strategy. Now, so much for the World Championship. That was last week. What have you done for me lately? The Australia T20 team immediately loses. So they're playing T20 after the World Championship. They go into T20. Is this a championship for T20?
This is. It's kind of an extended championship. So we'll have T20, which is 20 overs aside, 20 overs bowling, 20 overs batting is per each game. It's a very quick form. It will go right through the summer. But you're right, John. Funnily enough, part of the same team that just beat India in the World Cup cricket played part of the Indian team that we completely overshadowed and overruled, and we completely lost. There's no other way to say it. We lost the T20 decidedly. The Indian team was fantastic. They beat us by over 40 runs. And honestly, the guys that were in the World Cup playing T20 played to the same standard. The difference was the Indian side that was playing played to a much higher standard than they did during the World Cup. So I don't know what there might be something to tell us what T20 is going to look like. It should be a really good series, but I wouldn't have seen that coming, to be honest.
You know, I remember after the Ashes was tied, I don't remember, maybe it was after Ashes 1-2 years ago, the T20 was a challenge for the Australia team. And for a while, your coverage sort of said, well, that was their peak. You know, they're not going to recover. They're not good at all things. I don't remember. But sports writers are paid to trash the team. Just because it's won doesn't mean you don't get to trash it the next time. It's been an exciting time. We have a couple of weeks off, and then a Pakistan team is coming in. So we'll be back into worrying about whether the players are positioned right, whether the spin bowling or the fast bowler is right. We'll learn. We'll go to all of that. For now, Australia is the world champion in 50-over cricket, and the team is divided up into different places right now. They haven't had the ticker tape parade yet that they're expecting later on this year. They'll have it in the next weeks.
It looks like late December, I think they're planning to have something in Perth, Western Australia, when the whole team is reasonably back together again. But you're right, there are so many games now that just spread out all over the country and over the world, I should say.
Jeremy Zakas, my cricket guide to this extremely challenging game to learn late in life. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.